If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. You know, it's pretty amazing as I went back to read the Proverbs 1 through 9 and the way Solomon brings about this wisdom and knowledge that really we should really be learning from in order to be successful sometimes with our children and our grandchildren, especially as parents. But Proverbs 10 now, what he does here, he's going to speak on some of the themes that are in chapter 10 of Proverbs. And he has like the right use of wealth, the benefits of righteousness, the importance of proper speech, discipline, and hard work. And he begins this way in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. Now, notice how this begins with Solomon's personal name. So these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. He starts out in the proverb by saying, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." Now think of how many parents have been totally grieved by their children. And maybe it wasn't the children's fault. Maybe they weren't taught at home. But they became a grievance. And it's always very hard when parents come in to talk to me about their children and knowing that they got caught up on drugs or they got caught up on alcohol or the girl got pregnant by this guy that's on a marrier. He wants an abortion. And there's all these situations in families that are presently even before us today. So Solomon is going to speak to our hearts, and he's here speaking about a wise son that makes his father glad. And the only way that a father can be glad for his children is when his children have been taught the ways of the Lord. That's really the only way. Because he goes on to say in the following paragraph, "But a foolish son is the grief of his mother." I mean, I can say to you that I was a grief to my parents. A total grief. You know, as I became older and I came to know the Lord, it's cool, you know, but I have three sons and, you know, one of my sons, Ryan, you know, he really became a grief to us for 19 years in drugs. And I never took drugs in all my life. I didn't know nothing about drugs. A lot of my friends took drugs. And yet, think of what happens when kids, not only under your own house and your own roof, they make decisions that you don't agree with, and yet they're going to have to reap those consequences in their own personal lives. And many times I've talked to Ryan about that. I say, you know, 19 years of taking drugs, as you get older, it could affect you physically. It could. A lot of my friends have died by the age of 50. 40 because of drugs, physically. And you really have to think about, if you're a young person here tonight, you got to really think about what you're going to do in the future or even at the present time about alcohol, drugs, or whatever you're going to do, because whatever you do, you're going to reap to it. We all reap to it. I reap to my violence and to my anger. And I think it's important that we get really good counsel as the Proverbs speaks to us. And here he's speaking to young people. He says, a wise son makes a father glad. When? When he's obedient to the word of God. But the father and the mother taught his children the word of God. You see? That's what's so cool about Proverbs here. The way he brings it out. We notice here that the responsibility of the parents is to teach and the children to hear, to listen, and obey God's holy word. If not, he says, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And I think of how many children have been a grief to parents. It's really sad. It's sad when some of the children die overdose drugs. And you have to do their funeral, and you watch their parents in grief. It's really sad. And Satan knows how to get each one of us individually. He's not stupid. He knows how to do it. And yet, I think that children have to be reminded every single day that the decisions they make now, it's for the future too. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And then check this out, verse 2. He says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So here, if you're going to really, you know, there's not going to be any gaining being a wicked person, because eventually you're going to reap to your wickedness. So Solomon wants to give us insight. And we have here, that you're going to see now in the Proverbs, the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. It's a contrast. Righteousness, wickedness. He says, but righteousness delivers from death. And that is so true. Righteousness delivers us from hell. Delivers us from a horrible death when we obey God's word. And we become righteous by faith in Jesus Christ when we accept his love and grace and mercy, and we repent of our sins and we confess our sins to him, and we accept him by faith. He becomes my Lord and my Savior, and in his eyes I become righteous before him. I love that, the way it works. And then verse 3, he says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish. Notice that. If you're living a righteous life, God will what? God will take over for you. He'll take over your life. He'll lead you, guide you. He'll give you advice. He'll give you counsel as you're in the Word of God and you're praying. But he casts away the desires of the wicked. Notice that. The desires of the wicked are cast away. And then verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. So here's now a contrast between laziness and diligence. Laziness and diligence. And by the way, there's a lot of lazy people today. Seriously. A lot of lazy people that don't want to work. I've been down at San Clemente, and I stop in the mornings to get some oatmeal. I like oatmeal. You know, so I stop there, and all these kids that are bums, they come up to the car and ask for $1 or $5 or $10. And they're young kids. They're in their 15, 16, something, 18, 20 years old, or they stand on corners asking for money. You know, and they're tweaked. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. You know, and that's why we have these centers where they can go and get cleaned up, and if they have a sound mind, they can get them going together so they can get out of that lifestyle and become something in this world. But think of how many tweak their lives fully, completely. And they're so young. And they still have a whole life ahead of themselves. And yet, they're lazy. They don't have ambition in life. They don't want to get an education. They don't want to work. All they want to do, and I deal with this every single day, living off their parents. Living off their parents. Man, when we were in high school, we could hardly wait to get out of our house. Seriously. That's where we grew up. Man, when we're 18, we're signing up for the service. Man, we're going to leave home, or we're going to go to college. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to leave. And I never went back home. But today, you have these people, 20, 30, 40 years old, living with their parents. And what do? They abuse their parents financially. They don't work. That should never be so. If your son or your daughter, man, is healthy and she can work, you know what? Don't support them. I'm telling you right, don't support them. You'll damage their whole lives. You should not do that. Because what happens is they know how to manipulate people. And you have to be careful of manipulation. And some people are real good at that. My own sons, you know, they left when they were 18, 19. They left. They went to school. They got a job. You know, we taught them that. And it's really important because we're coming into a generation, you know, a couple of generations now, that they really don't like to work. You talk to guys that have companies, and they'll tell you, you know, people are lazy. They always want breaks. They always want to, you know, they want to take lunch breaks. They want to go early or make appointments during work to go here and there. And there's no discipline until you become the boss. Then you can see, especially in the ministry, I tell you what, man, because it's a church, you know. People expect to get off here, get off there, get paid for this and get paid for that. You know what? I won't put up with that. There's no possible way. We have to be honest in business. We have to be honest in our time, in our education. Everything we do is between you and God. And if you take advantage of your parents, if you take advantage of the elderly, You see? And if you really can be physically able to work and to get an education, and you're smart enough to do that, but just because maybe your parents have money or whatever, and you live off of them, God will never bless you. God will never bless you. He will never do that. So here Solomon is giving incredible, incredible wisdom. He says again in verse 4, he who is slack, notice, a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent, that's what? Gets rich. I mean, he makes a living. You see? It's because he's a hard worker. He's not lazy. Verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Again, notice. Again, the control of laziness and diligence. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Notice, again, the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Again, verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Notice that. The memories of the righteous is blessed. The name of the wicked will rot. Will rot. And of course, he's speaking of the destiny of the righteous and the wicked in their memory. Did you know that a wicked person, when they die and they go to hell, all their memory is there forever, all five senses? Read Luke chapter 16, chapter 16, verse 19. It tells you exactly what happens. But in the book of Revelation, it says for the righteous, when we die, well, there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more death. There's no more of anything that we have in this world. But for the wicked, when they go to hell, they'll be able to remember. They can smell, they can taste, they can touch, and they can fall back in their old memories forever and ever and ever and ever. And so it's important to understand where the wicked is heading. And they don't even know it yet. They're going to be doomed. They're going to be in a very bad place. And then again, notice, he says again, rotting, and then verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands or instruction, but a prating fool will fall. A fool doesn't want to listen. He thinks he knows it all. Verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely. Integrity is very important in the life of the children of God. But he who perverts his ways will become known. Notice, everybody will know who you really are. And then verse 10, he says, he who winks with his eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. Notice again the contrast here. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Why? The righteous is always building up and not what? Tearing down. You see? Here he's talking about that. But violence, notice, covers the mouth of the wicked. The contrast. Verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife. That is true. But love covers all sins. Forgiveness. See, forgiveness. Verse 13. Wisdom is found in the lips of him who has understanding. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. The contrast now, you know, between the one that listens and the one that doesn't listen. Verse 14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, but notice the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So rich people trust in all the riches and they don't really trust in God. Not in God. Very few can trust in God like that. They have their whole security in their bank accounts. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life, but the wages of the wicked to sin. Notice again the contrast between labor and fruit. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Notice the deceitful hypocrite here. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. That is talking too much. But he who restrains his lips is wise. There's a lot of people that talk too much, you know. You have to be careful when to shut up and when to open your mouth. Be in control of that, because otherwise people don't want to listen to you. Verse 20. And I'm not going to say women either, right? Because I know guys say, yeah, yeah, women. No, guys do too. Guys do that all the time. Verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth, notice, very little. The lips of the righteous feeds many, but fools die for lack of what? Wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. Notice that. And he adds no sorrow with it. So we see here true riches are not measured by your bank account. Okay? Not by your bank account. It's by your life in Christ. That we are, Paul says, we are super blessed. We are super rich through God's spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 23. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has true wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. You notice the contrast, righteous, wicked. Verse 25, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. Why? The wicked will be destroyed forever. Forever. Hell and then the lake of fire. And then he says, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. I love that. Eternal life. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Notice that, the contrast. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but, the contrast, notice, destruction will come to them that work what? Iniquity. Verse 30, the righteous will never be moved or removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. That is the new earth. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse or the forward tongue will be cut out. Notice that. And then finally, verse 32, the lips of the righteous knows what is acceptable. That is, we speak truth in building up people and not tearing people down. We all have that problem. Verse, again, 32, but the mouth of the wicked, notice, is what? Filthy, filthy mouth. What is perverse, notice that. Proverbs chapter 11, now he's going to speak about righteousness. And he's going to really speak real heavy here. Verse 1, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, this is talking to business people about not cheating. Okay? In those days when you went to the market, they had these weights that they would put on the scales to cheat people on a pound of meat or whatever, so they could make the profit. Think of how many companies or how many people that have not only companies, but they have, you know, industry. And yet, they cheat people. It's like I've gone to a liquor store to buy a Coke, $1.39, and you go somewhere else, $1.69 or $1.79. Somebody's getting rich. Somebody's getting rich. It's not right. It's not right. Especially if you're a Christian. It's not right to do that. You go out and plan a job and you double charge somebody, you know, that maybe, I mean, they have the money. It doesn't matter. We have to be honest in business as believers. We have to have a testimony. Here in Proverbs, he really hits it really heavy because, again, these business deals sometimes go sour when Christians try to get greedy. Greedy. And then God will not bless it. It's just like this. If you don't ever give to God in your tithing to the Lord, guess what? How will you ever expect God to bless you in any way? You're a thief. You're stealing already from God. The Bible says to give God what belongs to God. And I've talked about this maybe because of the teaching here. I don't usually talk about this unless we're in the teaching. And it's really sad that so many churches have to become beggars of bread for people to support their church. When if everybody was honest as a Christian, and gave to God exactly what God says to give to him, no church would ever need any finances. I promise you that. It happened in the Old Testament. Read the book of Exodus, chapter 36, when the tabernacle. When Moses told the people, we're going to build the tabernacle of God, you guys come up and give whatever lays on your heart. They brought so much stuff, they said, stop giving. You ever hear it on TV? Nope. Radio? Nope. Stop giving. We got too much. Can you imagine people flip out if that would ever happen? So here again, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes what? Shame. Notice this. There's so much pride today. Look what he says. But with the humble is what? Wisdom. The true character of a Christian is humility. Just like Jesus. The integrity of the upright will guide them. Look at the contrast. But the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Notice this. But righteousness delivers from death. Why? Because we have eternal life. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Notice the contrast. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. And think of how many people are caught in their own lust, caught up in their lusting, and it destroys them. It's really sad. But for us that are righteous before Christ, we become upright before the Lord. What does he do? He delivers us. He gives us the actual peace of mind and heart, and he gives us the way of escape. Because we're not perfect. We trip, we fall. But at the same time, we don't remain in our sin like the unfaithful do. They get caught up in their lust. And then they get totally lost in the world and end up in hell. Verse 7. When a wicked man dies, notice, his expectation or his hopes will perish. Will perish. And the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth, notice, destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. I love the way Solomon gives us these proverbs. Verse 10, when it goes well with the righteous, what happens? The city rejoices. Everybody's happy because there's righteousness. But when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. And another proverb says this, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But when the wicked are in power, everybody is what? Miserable and under bondage. 11. By the blessing of the upright, notice the city is exalted. This happens when there's godly leaders in Congress, in government, or in the church, or wherever it is. By the blessing of the upright, notice, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12, he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. I like that. You know, he really gives us insight on how to respond, how to react. Now, here's one for all of us. Verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets. That means he tells everything to everybody. Notice. But he who is of a faithful spirit, what does he do? He conceals a matter. He never, ever tells. Never tells. And then verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. There's another proverb that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But in the multitude of counselors, what is it? Safety. So it's good to get good counsel, especially of those people that are in the Word of God. They're not going to give you their counsel. They're going to give you God's counsel. That's why I don't understand why people would go to a counselor and pay a counselor to counsel you for money when counseling is free. There are churches that charge. I can't believe that. I mean, if you're a parishioner, if you're in the church, your counseling should be free. And at the same time, usually what I love to see is when I'm teaching the Word of God and people are sitting there, I expect the Holy Spirit to deal with you as a people as He deals with me and counsel you through the service so you never have to go to a counselor. If you listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit really speaks to your heart, then your problems can be taken care of right during the service because the Holy Spirit will come right to your heart and speak to you on the matter that you're lacking in. And check this out. Again, verse 14. So where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel is safety. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety, notice, is secure. Do not be a guarantee for somebody else. Be careful where you sign or who you sign for. Be careful. You might get stuck with a note. Verse 16. A gracious woman retains honor, but a ruthless man retains riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul. The person that is forgiving people all the time has a good attitude toward people, does better than other people because his heart is right before the Lord. But he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Bitterness, hatred. We've all been there, including myself. We can be real nice or we can be nasty. Verse 18. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure, notice, reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to what? To his own death. Notice that. Again, the righteous. Notice, righteousness leads to what? To life. Moving away from sin, moving away from those areas that are going to destroy your life. But he who pursues evil is pursuing it to his own death. You are on your way to destruction. You will end up in hell. And that's what parents are always trying to teach their children. I don't think the young people really understand because they're naive. They really haven't been in the world long enough. But as you grow up, your 20s and your 30s, 40s, 50s, you get to be my age and somebody else's age older than that, man, you can look back on your life a long ways, but you can't really see too much in front of you. And you learn a lot from the past to the present time. If you keep making the same mistakes, you're pretty dumb. You're pretty dumb. You don't learn your lessons. And that's why the Proverbs are so good for us, because the Proverbs will teach us about righteousness and wickedness. And what we need to be doing, just like he's talking to us here concerning this. He says, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. His righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart, here it is, are an abomination to the Lord. Notice what he says. But the blameless is in their ways are his delight. I love that. You want to be a delight to God, be blameless. God will be pleased with you. And we should want to please God in every area of our lives. Verse 21, notice what he says. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. And that is the strength for wisdom here. But the seed or posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a ring of gold in a pig's snout, notice, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion here. I mean, this is what Solomon is talking about. A woman that has no sense of discretion or direction. A desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. And notice here, there is one who scatters and yet increases more. That is spiritual principles to giving to God. You give to God, God will bless you. You don't give money to get money back, okay? I mean, he might do that. But we don't say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 100. I expect 200 back. It doesn't work that way, okay? It does not work that way. I mean, people will tell you, well, you know, how do you really give to the Lord? Well, if you go back to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, they would give 10%. Okay, of their, whatever they had, of their crops, whatever it was, 10%. But then it tells you in the book of Leviticus that if you have given God 10% and you say, okay, this week, God, I can't give you my 10%. Then God said, no problem. You want to borrow it? Yeah, I want to borrow it. I'll pay it back next week. No problem. 20% interest. That's what God said, 20% interest. So imagine if you don't pay in a month, or you don't pay in a year, or 5 years, or 10 years. You're really in debt to God. But I mean, it's really important that you understand that here in America, in other parts of the world, even though they don't have money, income, they bring fruit, they bring vegetables, they bring whatever to give to the Lord in helping other people. And you need to teach, like we tell our boys when they were very little, when they went to Sunday school, to take their tithe into the classroom. To teach them so that when they grow up, they will do the same that their mom and dad are doing. But if you're not teaching by example your children, then your children will be just like you. And you'll be in debt to God. Honestly, the reason people, man, are having money problems, number one, is because of your credit cards. You're overspending your credit cards. And then the interest gets you. And yet you can't pay God nothing. It's sad. Really sad. I would recommend to get rid of your cards and get rid of your debt so you can pay God what belongs to God. And I tell you what, you will be blessed by God. But if you don't, it's like the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, what were they doing? They were working the fields and God said, build my temple. But they wouldn't build his temple. They would come home from the fields and they take their money and they made a hole on the ground and they put their money in the bag in the hole in the ground. And the Lord said, okay, keep putting it in. But what I'm doing, he says, as you put it in, I got a hole in the bottom and I'm taking it out. The more you put in, the more I take. And that really happens. I've had people come in here, credit card debt $50,000. Imagine what the interest is on that. They have to file bankruptcy. And the reason is they think that a credit card is cash. It's not cash. It's not cash. We have to learn how to live under our means, especially in the days we're living in today. And as a father and mother, you need to teach your children. They need to see not covetousness. They need to see that you're really for real and you really belong to God and you're giving God what belongs to God, and you teach your children what you're doing for God. And this is the reason that so many churches become beggars for bread, because they've been taught that way. But in Calvary Chapel, we believe the philosophy is where God leads, he provides. We don't take offerings. We receive offerings. We never take anything from anybody. Ever. We don't take anything from anybody. We receive them. And if you are not giving to God what belongs to God, you should never take communion on a Sunday morning. Seriously, you're in dangerous ground. In dangerous ground. You better read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's really important, because people say, well, I don't cuss, I don't take drugs, I don't drink alcohol, you know, I don't do that. But if you're a thief before God and you don't give to God what belongs to God, boy, I don't want to be in your shoes. I used to cheat God when I first became a Christian. And I learned my big lesson. And you know what? You cannot ever, ever outgive God, man. Jesus said what? You give Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give God what belongs to God. You give government what belongs to government, and you give God what belongs to God. And if you have a business, if you're cheating in your business, God will never bless you. Never bless you. I know people that are business people that cheat, and they cheat, and they continue to cheat, and their business are going down the tubes. It's really important that if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be a child of God, then you need to be honest in business and in being a Christian. Because if you're not, and you have children or you have grandchildren, they're going to learn the same way from you, and you're going to lead them the wrong path. So that's why the proverb here is very important about giving to God what belongs to God. Very, very important. Notice what else he says. He says again, what verse? 24, okay, here we go. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And check this out. And there is one who withholds more than is right. That is the person that is stingy and is holding back for himself. You know, it's what happened in chapter 5 of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold the property, and the husband said, okay, we're going to take this much, and then we're going to keep this much. And they agreed together. So he comes, you know, to Peter and says to Peter, Peter, all that I have, I give to God. And Peter says by the Holy Spirit, hey, Ananias, is it really true that you're going to give to God all that you have? He says, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit immediately killed him. And they had to carry him out. And then his wife came in 3 hours later, hallelujah, you know, singing to the Lord. And Peter said, hey, excuse me. He says, did you sell the property for so much? Oh, yes, we did. He says, why did you stay with your husband to lie? The same people that carried your husband out 3 hours ago, they're going to carry you out. And she dropped dead. Could you imagine if that happened today? Nobody be in church. We're not going to that church, man. They're dropping dead on Sundays. That'd be funny, man. But I mean, because it doesn't happen, but it was in the book of Acts, it's for today. But God is gracious, graceful, and at the same time, should we take advantage of what God has given to us? It's like that woman, remember, the king Jesus was standing behind, and the Pharisees were coming up to the seven trumpets where they give their offerings. And they raised their hands and said, Lord, I want to give you this $100, and I am so righteous, and they put it in. And the Lord standing back watching them. And then there was a little old widow, a little widow, that walks up and takes a little mite, a little cent, one penny, and puts it all in. And the Lord says, hey, you guys, see that woman? She put in more than all those hypocrites over there because she gave all that she had to the Lord. God doesn't want $1 million. He wants everything to be given sacrificially to the Lord. That which you don't have, give to the Lord. He will blow your minds. You will never lack bread. I guarantee it. When you give to God what belongs to God, man, it is the most amazing thing that God will do in your lives. He will blow your minds. You know, I told you before here at Calvary Chapel, out of 100% of people coming here, only 20% give, and the rest are thieves. 20% maintain this whole church. Everything we do, 20%. What happens to the other 80% that don't give at all? I would not want to be in your shoes. Seriously, I would not. Imagine what you could do if everybody gave to the Lord. Like Moses said, then we have to say, you know what, you guys, we're so blessed. And the people that give here, the 20%, they are generous givers, man. You can't believe it. Generous givers. Like you can't believe. It's amazing. God provided. And so it's really important for us to understand that one person can't do it. We're a multitude of people together in the body of Christ. And if we would get together, all of us, and if we would do, can you imagine what we can do in the mission field? What we can do here in reaching people in America? Radio stations? We're not begging for anything. Even a radio program, we don't ask. If they want to give, fine. If they can, that's okay with us. But I think for you as a congregation sitting here tonight, and those that are not here tonight, that you would learn your lesson, as the proverb says here, and there is one who withholds more than is right, and that you would give to God what belongs to God, so that the blessings of God will be upon your life, spiritual blessings. The financial will come as God desires. Enough of that there. Verse 25. But it leads to poverty. Notice this. The generous soul will be made rich. The generous soul. The one that is given, like there's people here in the body, man, that are so generous, they blow me away. And by the way, I do not know. I don't go up to the ask, okay, which are the guys that are giving here? And then I'll say, oh, that guy doesn't give. She don't give. What a stingy person. You know, I don't do that. I have nothing to do that. I don't know who gives or who doesn't give, so don't worry about that. But Dale does. No, I'm just kidding you. Verse 26. The people will curse him who holds grain. The blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who is earnestly seeking good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. And check this out. He who trusts in his riches will fall. But the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. And the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he, I love this, underline this, and he who wins souls is wise. I love that scripture. I got it in my Bible, man. He who wins souls is wise. Winning people to the Lord, man, is awesome. God keeps a record of how many people you bring to the Lord. Verse 31. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, okay, if we're going to receive rewards, God's going to judge us. How much more the ungodly and the sinner? Whoa. You should read Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, the white throne judgment of God. Man, I would not want to be in that judgment. The books are going to be open. And whoever's name is not found written in the book of life. And he's going to read up on one side of the book, everything from the day you were born to the day you died, everything you ever did, it's written down. The only way to get everything written off is to come to Jesus Christ, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, he erases it all. No book like that will ever be opened in the presence of true righteousness, of the true righteous people of God. But the wicked, man, it's yet the worst is yet to come. Chapter 12. Whoever loves instruction, look at, loves knowledge. Notice the contrast here. But he who hates correction is stupid. I love that word. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wickedness intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by what? By wickedness. But the root of the righteous cannot be moved. And then an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. Notice this. The word excellent here is virtuous, the virtuous wife. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. I love it. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is lighted by his servant, but he who honors himself but lacks bread. And then he says this, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He's talking here about being good to your animals. They don't have a soul. They don't go to heaven. Hate to disappoint you. Okay? I mean, I see these people that every day in the mornings, you know, they're walking their little dogs and they're treating. They even carry paper to clean them. You got to be kidding me. Seriously. That's going too far. Too far for me. I'm sweating up here. Verse 11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, and he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. The wicked covets the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. Again, notice, the wicked is ensnared or trapped by the transgression of his lips. That is, men that is bragging all the time. But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with the good by the fruit of his mouth. And again, here is building up. But he says, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to counsel is what? Wise. Wise. Those that stop to listen. A fool's wrath is known at once. Here he's given the description of speaking out. But a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. This is in reference again to cutting words. We've all been there. You know, husband with wives with husbands, with your children, or the boss to the employees. Cutting words. Notice this. But the tongue of the wise, what does it do? It encourages, it promotes health. It's encouraging, building up, not tearing down. Notice that. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a little moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who, notice, who imagine evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous. Notice the promise here. But the wicked shall be filled with evil. Again, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The warning against lying. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. Those that are speaking truth. A wise man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims what? Foolishness. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man, here it is again, the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes what? Depression. Depression. We put everything in the hands of God. You can't worry about it. But a good work makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends very carefully. This is really good. You have to be careful. You know, I have a lot of old friends, but when I came to Christ, what I did is I just didn't cut them off. They knew that I accepted the Lord. I kept loving them, but I wasn't hanging out with them anymore. You see? So when I didn't hang out with them anymore, and they were calling me, I would tell them why I'm not hanging out with them. And at the same time, when they would call me, I'd go talk to them, be with them, but I would never be when they were sinning against God. And it's really important that you understand that, because there's a lot of times young converts, young believers, they'll go back to their old friends and they'll start drinking again, taking drugs again, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. If you really want to be a light to your friends and get rooted and grounded in God's word, and don't cut them off, just let them know what you're doing. I'm a Christian now, I'm learning about God, you know, I love you, I'll be praying for you. But if you continue as a young believer to go with them, eventually they're going to manipulate you and you're going to follow them into the way of destruction. So we need to pray for people like that. Look what he says. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked, notice what it does, it leads them where? It leads them astray. And then the lazy man again does not roast what he took for hunting, but diligence in man's precious possession. And then check this out. In the way of righteousness is what? Life. Notice that. The summation of that, life. And in its pathway, there is no death. Who's that? That's you and me, Christians. If we really, truly put the word of God in action, and we do what's right, and we stick to the word of God, then how can we go wrong? Father, I pray, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight, God. Lord, as we move through all these Proverbs, Lord, there's so many of them. Father, just to really learn and to depend upon them, Lord God. Father, in 31 days, we can read one proverb every single day. And we should, Lord, throughout the whole year. We're reading the Proverbs and then the Psalms, Lord God. And then, Lord, reading from Genesis to Revelation so that we can have the knowledge of God. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to move in us to work through our lives mightily and powerfully, Lord God, like never before, God. And Lord, I pray for those that are weak tonight, Father, and are going through very critical things in their lives, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you be with them, Lord God, and that you would help them. And Father, for those that have lost their jobs or don't have a job, Lord God, for those that are in school, help them with their academics, Father. And Lord, we just really want to look to you as the author and the finisher of our great faith, Lord God. And Lord, I pray tonight for these Proverbs that we have dealt with, Lord God, that we would become doers of God's word, Father, like never before. And right where you're sitting, if there's anybody here that needs prayer tonight, I just want you to stand to your feet right where you are. We're going to pray for you. Just stand right where you are. You don't have to tell us what it is. God knows. Okay, awesome. Those of you sitting next to these people, lay hands and we're going to pray right now. Father, we come before you, Lord God, for all these wonderful people, Lord God. Lord, we pray for each one of them individually that you would have your way in their lives, Jesus. Lord, we submit to you. We are here to give our lives to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for their finances. Lord, I pray for their homes. Father, I pray for their husband, their wife. I pray for their children. I pray for their grandchildren, Lord God. Lord, we pray for our country, our nation, Lord God, for the presidency, Lord God, everything that's going on. And Lord, we ask you tonight, all of us, Father, that you baptize us with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Let's all stand. Awesome. May the Lord bless you guys. May he keep you. May he watch over you. We're going to sing one more song. All right.